You're twice as sure with two great names. Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire presents Hollywood Star Time, direct from Hollywood. Tonight, the exciting radio production of the breathless Eric Ambler spy thriller, Journey into Fear, starring our Saturday evening host, Herbert Marshall.
Good evening. For the psychology and nervelessness of sheer shivering panic, there is scarcely a story in modern thrill fiction to match tonight's Journey into Fear. In hearing this gripping adventure, one shares the helpless desperation of the hunted man, Howard Graham, an atomic scientist who knows world-shaking secrets. In a moment, it shall be my great pleasure to portray the hunted scientist in this up-to-the-minute drama.
Now, Act One of Journey into Fear, starring our Frigidaire host, Herbert Marshall, as Howard Graham.
I am a scientist, and for many years I've been familiar with the stench of laboratories of every sort. And yet, as long as I live, I shall never forget the odor in my hotel room in Istanbul, Turkey, that night. The heavy, cloying scent of attar of roses, mixed with the acrid smell of burnt cordite. I shall never forget that evil odor. For to me, that was the terrifying smell of death. I had been to occupied Germany, interviewing German atomic scientists, committing to memory immensely valuable data. Traveling down through Turkey, I stopped in Istanbul. In a cabaret there, I met Josette, a dancing girl. She'd been around, but she was honest, intelligent, very attractive. It was quite late when I opened the door to my hotel room and groped for the electric light switch. Suddenly, I was aware of a sweet, heavy fragrance in the darkness of my room. I didn't know why, but my hair began to stand on end. Then, Colonel Haki, I should like to know why I've been brought here to answer to the Turkish secret police.
If you will please not shout at me so, Professor Graham.
How do you know I'm Professor Graham?
You, sir, have been to Germany to collect certain important data on atomic fission.
Well?
Certain, shall we say, interests are determined to prevent this data from reaching America.
What interests, may I inquire?
The Nazi underground, which will make every effort to kill you and the secrets you carry in your brain.
Oh, nonsense. I was fired at in my hotel room by an ordinary thief. Isn't likely to occur again.
Be so good as to look through this folder of photographs, please.
Very well, Colonel Hartley. It was quite dark in my room. I didn't see the man who shot at me.
Please look at the photographs.
Well, none of these photographs in any way. Oh, this one here. This man was at Le Jockey Cabaret last night. Josette, a dancing girl there.
Yes, I know.
Josette said he was watching me, but I laughed at her.
Yes, you would. That man says a Romanian named Banat.
Banat.
A killer who murders for the sheer sport of killing.
Why should this Romanian want to murder me?
He works for an underground Nazi agent named Müller. It is this Müller's assistant, his assignment, to liquidate you before you reach America.
I see. Well, luckily I'm leaving for England tomorrow on the Orient Express.
You are leaving tomorrow for Genoa on the steamship Sestri Levant.
Colonel Haki.
I have made all the arrangements, Mr. Graham.
Now, look here.
I, sir, am responsible to my government. My government is responsible to yours for your safety. You will sail tomorrow on the Sestri Levant. At Genoa, you may take the train to Paris and board your plane for America.
Well, it all sounds very melodramatic.
It is melodramatic. It is my problem to prevent it from becoming a tragedy. You, sir, are a hunted man. And the hunters are professional.
I left the office of the secret police feeling as though some infallible doctor had told me that I was suffering from a horrible, deadly disease. All at once, I, Howard Graham, a scientist, had become part of a different world of which I knew nothing. Except that it was detestable and deadly. For the first time in my routine civilian life, I had discovered the paralyzing, stupefying fear of sudden death. Set.
Monsieur Graham, what are you doing on this ship? Last night in the cabaret, you said you were taking the Orient Express.
I had to change my plans suddenly.
Oh, yes. You meet me for the first time and start immediately with a mean little deception.
Josette, you were right about that man watching me last night.
That evil one with the black raincoat and the face like clay, that one?
After I left you, someone shot at me.
Shot at you? Oh, no. But why?
Because... Oh, no matter, Joseph. I'm safe now. We're both here, and I'd like you to dine with me this evening.
Yes.
Very much.
Thank you. And after dinner, you will play cards with me, yes?
If you like.
I warn you, I'm very good at cards. Very good.
Dining saloon seems to be rather crowded.
Such a tiny dining room.
Oh, look, perhaps that old gentleman over there won't mind sharing his table with us. Come on, Josette. Excuse me, sir. May we share your table, please?
But of course.
Oh, thank you, Hanai.
I'm Howard Graham. This is Senorita Josette Galindo.
Hello?
Sit down, please. I'm happy to know you. My name is Haller. Dr. Fritz Haller.
Dr. Haller.
And you may both sit with me at your own risk.
How's that, Doctor?
I am a German. I hardly dare say a good German, for the very expression invites ridicule. Even now with the war, 20 months over. The former allies are here in force, and they object to eating with the former enemy. You may do the same if you like.
We'll sit here, of course, Joseph.
I had no intention of moving.
You come from Turkey, Dr. Haller?
Persia. I am an archaeologist. I was investigating the early pre-Islamic cultures. Are you a soldier?
I'm a scientist myself, Doctor.
Oh, wunderschön. Good. That perhaps may draw us a little closer, we former enemies. I have a son. He was a soldier. He disapproves of me.
That is what comes of having sons. Me? I would have only daughters.
At 14, my son disapproved of me for having no dueling scars. Later, as a good young Nazi party member, he disapproved of me because I, as a man of science and some humanity... never mind. Please, do you have some of this wine till the waiter arrives?
Oh, perhaps a little later, thank you.
Excuse me, please. Excuse me, yes. I hear English spoken. I am interested. You are English, sir?
No, I'm an American.
Oh, I am Turkish. My name is Kuvvetli.
Oh, I see. Well, Senorita Galindo, Dr. Fritz Haller, my name's Howard Graham.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. You see, I am on my way to London to sell tobacco.
Sit down, Mr. Kuvvetli.
Oh, thank you. Only a moment, thank you. Very nice.
All right.
Tobacco. England buys lot tobacco from Turkey. Business. My boss. Very nice.
I should imagine so.
Pazar and Company. A cigarette. You try? Very nice.
No, not for me. Thank you.
Did you say Pazar and Company?
Tobacco.
I'm a great tobacco fancier. Never heard of Pazar and Company.
What I wish, especially, to ask, you gentlemen go ashore at Athens tomorrow?
Not I.
I haven't decided myself.
Oh, please to go, Mr. Graham. You see, I do not know Athens. I have never been there, but I speak Greek very nice, and I could help you enjoy the trip ashore very much.
You speak Greek, and you've never been to Athens?
Oh, how many Germans have never seen Berlin?
Very well, Covetti. I'll go to Athens with you tomorrow.
Oh, so good of you. I leave you now. Pardon, Signorita, Dr. Haller. Remember, Mr. Graham, Athens tomorrow.
Shall I tell you? I do not care for that man.
Oh, he seems all right enough, I guess.
Yes, but Tsar and Company. Well, perhaps there is such a firm after all. Shall we order?
The Sestri Levant anchored off Athens the following morning, and Covetti and I went ashore to inspect the ruins. It was dark and cold when we came aboard again, and I headed for the bar alone. Josette was there. Dr. Haller was there. I saw them, and I saw something else. Something that drew all the blood out of my face. I turned and groped my way blindly up the stairs again. Fear. I see black fear, heavy by the throat. For there could be no mistaking the new face in the bar, with the sunken eyes and the clay-like skin. The reek of perfume in the room. Barnett. Barnett the killer.
Sir Graham? Howard? Sir Graham?
Yeah, Josette, beside the lifeboat.
Matt, are you ill?
Josette, when did that new passenger come aboard?
Shortly before you and Mr. Covetti. Why?
His name is Barnett. The man who shot at me in my hotel room.
He's
here to kill me if he can.
Do you have a gun?
The moment I saw Barnett, I went to my cabin to look for my gun. It's gone, stolen.
By him?
I must have a gun. He'll kill me as soon as I get off the ship in Genoa. I must have a gun.
Howard, listen to me. Dr. Haller left the bar a moment after you did. He's in his cabin now. He likes you hard. You must try and get a gun from Dr. Haller. And now, hurry.
My dear Graham, but why?
Well, it seems I lost my pistol scrambling among the ruins of Athens today. I usually carry one, you know.
Yes, so many people do these uncertain and violent times.
Do you carry one?
Oh, I dislike firearms intensely, Graham.
I see.
I am so sorry. Believe me, if there's anything...
No, it's no matter. A gun just comes in handy sometimes, that's all.
Lifeboat. Gone.
Dr. Haller has no gun.
No, but this unspeakable one.
Barnett.
He has a gun. You too shall have one.
But how?
Yes, Barnett has his gun on your own, but he does not carry one. I was close to him in the bar. He had no gun.
You won't need it until we get to Genoa.
All right. Then where is his gun if not in his room?
Josette.
He's still in the bar. Search his room. Hurry.
Frantically, desperately, with the sickly stench of his stale perfume sticking in my throat, I ransacked Barnett's cabin. I missed nothing, except his pistol. The gun was not there. I was defenseless, trapped aboard the ship. I would land, I would pass the customs in Genoa, then I would be conveniently shot, killed. But if only a man had a pistol to defend himself, then... I went back to my own cabin and opened the door. I stepped inside and stopped dead in my tracks.
Come inside, Mr. Graham.
Dr. Haller.
I've been waiting for you. Please, close the door. A little while ago, you inquired about a pistol.
Yes?
Somehow I gathered that you needed a weapon urgently.
Yes, urgently.
I think this is what you have been looking for, isn't it?
A pistol.
A very formidable pistol. A 9mm Parabellum.
Dr. Haller, how can I ever thank you enough?
Thank me? Oh, my dear Graham, you misunderstand. I am not giving you this fine pistol. My finger is on the trigger, and I am pointing it at you.
You are listening to Journey into Fear, starring Herbert Marshall. Now we continue with Act Two of Journey into Fear, starring Herbert Marshall, with a music score composed and conducted by Johnny Green.
Barnett. Barnett, the killer, was aboard that little steamship, and I was unarmed, helpless against him. Unless I had come back to my own cabin after searching fruitlessly in Barnett's cabin for a revolver. In my own cabin, the kindly, gentle Dr. Haller sat waiting for me with a pistol pointed at my head.
Sit down, Graham.
Dr. Haller, I don't understand.
Barnett was infinitely upset by his failure to kill you in Istanbul.
Oh, you. Your Mörler. Mörler, the Nazi underground agent.
Gavis, I am indeed that estimable person.
Well, say what you've come to say and have done with it.
Very well. As things stand, you will be a very dead atomic scientist 10 minutes after you land in Genoa.
Then why all this nonsense? Why this interview?
I am here to offer you an alternative to death. You possess in your mind certain data obtained from some of our German physicists. In 6 months, your own country will have discovered those facts for itself. Therefore, suppose we put you up in a villa near Santa Margherita for 6 months.
After which time you would release me?
Since your information would no longer be valuable? Yes. The only other choice is death.
I see.
He will expect to hear your decision by tomorrow evening.
Is that all?
One more thing. You must not discuss my plan to harbor you at Santa Margherita with Mr. Covetley.
Why should I discuss it with him?
Because Mr. Covetley is on the point of revealing himself to you for what he is. An agent of the Turkish secret police.
Covetley.
Covetley. Speak to him if you like. But I warn you, not about my generous offer to you. Do you understand? I warn you.
This is serious news you bring me, Mr. Graham. Serious.
Yes, sir. I've come to your cabin straight for my interview with Harlow or Merle, or whatever you want to call him. Covetley, why in heaven's name did you go ashore at Athens so that Barnett could come aboard?
Because I wanted him on board.
What?
If I had stopped Barnett, then another killer would have been sent aboard. We know and understand Barnett. A new man would have presented new problems. Now, what did Haller tell you?
He offers as an alternative to killing me, imprisoning me in a place called Santa Margherita for 6 months.
Merely a trick for transferring the scene of your murder to a less public place than the streets of Genoa.
What's to be done, Covetley?
It's all very simple. This ship docks at 9 o'clock in the morning, day after tomorrow. However, the pilot boat comes out before dawn. I will go ashore before anyone else on the pilot boat and arrange a heavy guard at the pier for the moment you land.
That sounds all right.
It is all right. Meanwhile, pretend that you accept Dr. Haller's alternative. When the ship docks at Genoa, go to cabin 4.
Cabin 4, go on.
Cabin 4 is empty now, but my luggage will be there tomorrow. Bring my bags ashore. I will meet you at the gangplank with a heavy guard. Is that all clear?
Perfectly clear and perfectly simple and perfectly wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Thank you very much. Very nice, very nice.
Wonderful, exhilarated. I told Haller that I accepted his offer of Santa Margherita. and then waited restlessly for the morning of our arrival at Genoa. Then, at 8 o'clock that morning, I went to the vacant number 4 cabin to get Covetley's luggage. Covetley already safely ashore and collecting his armed guard. I opened the door cautiously, stepped inside. Sure enough, Covetley's bags were there, neatly in order. The next moment, my heart was pounding wildly in my throat. Lying across the floor, his head covered with blood, was Mr. Covetley dead?
Howard, what is it?
Let me in, Josette. Close the door.
What's the matter? You're white like a ghost, Eddie.
Josette, can you get me a pistol?
What has happened?
Covetley was a Turkish agent. He had a plan to bring me help. Now he's dead, and Captain... He's dead in his stateroom called
murdered.
Yes. His gun wasn't in his shoulder holster. Haller and Barnard thought of that, of course.
You mean Dr. Haller, the nice old man?
The nice old man, yes. Josette, they're going to take me to Santa Margarita to kill me at their pleasure.
You want a pistol?
Can you get me one?
I have a pistol.
Josette!
A small pistol, but a pistol. Here.
Oh, how did you ever manage it?
I made friends with his steward. He teaches me a game called Gin Rummy. I'm a good pupil. I win from him the revolver.
Josette, you're wonderful.
You're not afraid now.
Not now, Josette. I have one chance. I'll make my stand as they drive me through the main street of Genoa on the way to Santa Margherita. On the main street, they will be afraid. They will run, not I. They. Ship docked to Genoa. And yes, they were waiting for me as I passed through the customs shed. Obediently, I got into the big sedan with them. I sat in the back seat between Haller and Barnard, knowing that I had but one chance. That was to make my break for freedom in the busy main street of Genoa. But it was not their idea to fall in conveniently with my scheme. Oh, no. Just a moment, Dr. Haller, or Merle, whatever your name is. Isn't this the wrong road to Santa Margherita?
What do you think, Mr. Graham?
This is the wrong road. I know it.
My dear Mr. Graham, you really didn't think we'd drive through the very heart of Genoa, did you? My.
In other words, I'm being taken for a ride, European style.
All right, Graham. We stop here.
This isn't Santa Margherita or anything like it.
I said we stop here.
You'd lie to me when you told me.
Mr. Graham, if you cannot think of your own dignity at a time like this, then please think of the cushions of our car.
Fury. Fury gathered in my brain, driving out all thought of fear. Fury over their great concern that my blood should not soil the cushions of their car. Haller and Barnard were walking on each side of me now, to the side of the road. Fury. Fury for poor, faithful Covetley, grotesquely and uselessly dead in his cabin on the Sestri Levant. And suddenly I whipped out the pistol and I was firing point blank into their stunned faces. Ah! And then into the gasoline tank of their car.
Be careful, men. Have your guns ready. There may still be some life in those worthless carcasses.
Colonel Hockey, that man in the road there, it's Howard.
Joseph.
Howard, Sally. Are you hurt, Howard?
No, Joseph, I'm all right.
Oh, Sherry.
No.
I tried to be at the dock when your ship came in, Miss Graham.
Colonel Harkey, how are you?
Professor, you should have run, not fight.
I got heartily sick of running. I could take just so much from those scurvy characters, and then it was time to cure their scurvy with vitamin pills.
Containing, of course, appreciable quantities of lead.
Right.
Graham, your vitamin-deficient friend will not trouble you anymore.
Good. I tell you, Colonel Hockey, we will take just so much from those, how you say, Hart?
Scurvy.
Characters.
Yes, sir.
And then it is time to cure them. Yes, cure them. How is it again, Hart?
Josette. Hey? Look, Josette, from now on, I do the talking in this family. I like it that way, see?
I say, tough guy.
Yeah. Do you mind, Senorita Galindo?
You mind, Josette?
No, Hart. I like it that way.
Herbert Marshall and our brilliant cast for your exciting work in Journey into Fear. In a moment, our star and host, Herbert Marshall, will return to tell you of next week's stars and story. Journey into Fear was brought to you by Frigidaire through the courtesy of RKO Radio Pictures Incorporated, producers of the Technicolor production Sinbad the Sailor, starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Maureen O'Hara. Hollywood Star Time is presented each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer. Now, here again is our Frigidaire host, Herbert Marshall.
Next week, the Frigidaire marquee lights up with the names of Van Heflin and the lovely Audrey Totter. Our play will be It Started with Eve. It's the amusing story of a young man who presents a strange girl as his fiancée to his dying father, just to please the nice old gent. But Papa, finding his future daughter-in-law a great tonic, neglects to die after all. And from there on, so help me, it's a honey.
Remember next Saturday at this time when Frigidaire will present It Started with Eve, starring Van Heflin and Audrey Totter, and your Saturday evening hosts...
As ever, Herbert Marshall. Good night.
Hollywood Star Time was directed by Jack Johnstone. The script was written by Milton Geiger. Tony Barrett, who played Colonel Hockey, can all be seen in the RKO picture San Quentin. This is Wendell Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors, CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.